Hey everybody, Christian Spicer here. Today is Wednesday. It is actually March 8th, 2023, but Wednesday, more importantly, means it is paid DLC day. That's right. On Wednesdays, if you are a Cool Ranch or higher patron over at patreon.com/DLCpod, you get an entire bonus show that we call paid DLC. Now on this main show, you know, Jeff and I have been joking, and I've been giving Jeff a hard time, and we've been chatting about how do we describe what paid DLC is. He quotes some folks during the main show and talks about how it's silly, zany, fun, Jeff, Lana, and I hanging out, chit-chatting, things going wherever they go. But we thought, you know, what better way to let people know what paid DLC is all about than sharing an episode of paid DLC with everybody so they can get a feeling for it. This episode that you are about to hear was recorded originally in, recorded and released on February 1st of 2023. And the description is, this week, Jeff, Lana, and Christian talk about Lana's ski trip, chat board games, Jeff's view on geese, all geese, Lana being stalked by a coyote, and how Christian says a word. I'm not going to say the word because that gives away part of the conversation. So this is that episode, again, recorded on February 1st, 2023. It's a fun one. It'll give you a taste about what paid DLC is pretty much each and every week. And if you want to get more, you can just head over to patreon.com/DLCpod, sign up at the Cool Ranch or higher level, and get a little bit of glee delivered to you every single Wednesday. Here's the episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, the triumphant return of the paid DLC program. Woo! Every week we're here, Wednesdays, because you make it possible. Your support of us, your patronage is much appreciated. And it means we get to hang out. We? Who's we? Well, it's me, Jeff Cannata. And I'm here with Christian Spicer. Hey, Christian.
Hello.
And our friend Lana Bashinsky is back from her mountain getaway, which looked delightful. Welcome back, Lana.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was wonderful. You know, going into it, big question mark. Hanging out with the colleagues for a long time.
Yeah.
It's like a recipe for disaster. But it was great. It was really fantastic. Played some the games and the cabins. Mwah,
did,
love it.
Did colleagues become friends?
Oh, my God. Boo. Now, we arrived as colleagues and we left as friends. What a time.
We arrived as coworkers and left as Trevor got fired for cause.
No,
we all told Trevor enough was enough, but Trevor didn't. There was no one named Trevor, I hope.
No Trevor's. It's a very wholesome adventure. We had everybody, most people wanted to pass out at like 8 p.m. because, you know, snowboarding. Yeah, we worked desk jobs. It was a physical.
No, that sounds like strength. Living the dream to me. Sleep, go to sleep at 8 p.m. Oh, beautiful.
But we played like a 20-person game of Wavelength.
Oh, yeah. I love that game.
It was
oh, my
so
God. That was the
good.
Best game, right? Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
The thing that's so cool about Wavelength is it evolves, right? As you play it more, you go, I see what the other team is doing. And you start, and then they go, I see that they see what we're doing, and you kind of have to keep changing your tactics. It's so cool, that game.
Yeah. So for folks who don't know what Wavelength is, there's sort of this box that has a big dial on it, and you kind of cut. There's a shield for the dial, and the place that is behind the shield has a sort of a gradient of like your possible area to get points.
So I thought of the wrong game. Sorry, I thought of the wrong game. I was thinking of the wrong game.
There's another game that sounds kind of like that. Sorry, go ahead. But I know what Wavelength is, but I was thinking of the wrong game.
He actually doesn't like this game, Landon.
No, this game's terrible.
No, I'm kidding. This game's fun. But continue with your description. I just wanted to... You probably were going evolves?
I do think it evolves. I do think that people are seeing the way that people are playing the game. And they change the way... Because everybody's trying to get a reaction from the room. Anyway.
Yeah.
There's like a... Tomb Raider, with
Angelina Jolie? Yes, the jet ski scene. Indiana Jones. Sorry, wrong.
Sorry. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Explain what. I won't interrupt you anymore. I just wanted to make sure that people were aware that I'm dumb. Okay. No, people are aware though. Go ahead.
There's a dial. There's only a certain wedge where you can get points, and the closest to the middle of that wedge you can get points is the maximum amount of points. And then you pull like a card, and the card will say something like, forgivable and unforgivable. And that is like the scale that you have to try and get your team to put the dial in the correct spot. It's like, you know, out of 10, you're not supposed to use numbers, but like out of 10 on the scale,
right?
Get it stuck right in the middle of that wedge. And so you have to say something. Everybody knows, okay, this is the scale. On a scale from forgivable to unforgivable, socks and sandals. And then there's like a big debate that happens about where that falls on the scale.
Yeah.
And the other team can like see what your team has done and say, oh, we think it's more to the left or more to the right. And they can get points if you miss the wedge. And so it's like a big 20 person debate about how forgivable or unforgivable or whatever they, you know, it could say. Like we had one that was like a circle to square. Like, things can be like simple concepts or like more complicated things, but it was like such a great way to bring like the whole team together. And that's a fun talk about ridiculous things. It's very, very fun.
It's fun because you go, well, unforgivable, a 10 is, you know, murdering babies, right? That's easy. We're all clear on what unforgivable is, right? But like, what's a 6? What's a 4? What's the fun about it is like, how do you dial that in this weird range that is very subjective and sort of arbitrary?
What's a constantly leaving your water on a colleague's desk every day? Where do you put that one? You know, once it's a 2. After a week, I think it moves up to a 6, Trevor, after being emailed about it from HR.
Let me tell you, I thought of you this weekend, Jeff, because I was had to bring it home for the team. Okay, it's the last round, and I think I'm the only person that got the team to guess a perfect right in the middle of that wedge, got the 4 points, brought home the win. And on a scale of forgivable to unforgivable, I said, "Being a fan of Avatar 1," and they nailed it.
Not cool, Lana. Not cool.
They nailed it. It was a perfect clue.
Or if it was a 4 of unforgivable?
No, it was more towards forgivable, but it dipped. It was like around a 6.5. Mostly forgivable, but a fan? Not just like, oh, I liked the movie, but like a fan was the debate.
I guess I am 6 unforgivable then. Hey,
Unforgivable is a good movie too. So if you're on a scale of unforgivable,
you mean Unforgiven?
Yes, I do.
Just for the record, the game that I was thinking of that I thought you were referencing when you said Wavelength, that I got conflated in my head, is a game called Decrypto. Have you heard of Decrypto, Lana?
I've not.
I think they all went bankrupt, didn't they?
Yeah, Decrypto is is bankrupt. You don't want to have the bored apes. You know what I'm saying? but Decrypto is this incredible game that it's two teams, and you are trying to guess. So let me read the actual Board Game Geek description. Each team has their own screen. And in the screen, they tuck 4 cards. Oh, this is pathetic. I don't want to know exactly what it is. Anyway, you're trying to guess cards on the other team. You give clues and they hear your clue, and your clue can give them information that you don't want them to have. So you're trying to give a clue. So basically, one member of your team is on their side and one member of their team is on your side. and you're giving a clue to the same thing at the same time. So you have to give a clue to your guy on the other team in a way that doesn't clue in their whole team to the answers. It's brilliant because you start talking in these weird codes that you're trying to mask what you're saying, but also give enough information to your teammate. It's brilliant. It's so much fun and so crazy. And as I said, as I excitedly mentioned, it evolves because you start realizing, oh, they clued in on this thing, so we need to be even more obscure or weird in how we talk. It's awesome. Anyway.
It looks very cute. Cool design. Nice pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
Who was the person to take out Board Game Lana? Like, was that a known quantity of like, or was it like ski trip, and then it was like skiing's over for the day, board game time, and someone was like, oh no,
oh, people showed up with boxes. Like,
Christian's
we brought, really? Like a bunch, yeah.
Christian's
so,
the oh no guy.
No, well, some people ski, and when they're done skiing, they're like, I'm don't now going to fall asleep, or yeah, drink myself into oblivion. Like, yes. I feel like there's some people that aren't looking to continue doing. After a day of doing, if that
there's lots sense. Of people, we sort of planned that the last night that we were all out there together would be the night that we would like hang out in the evening because nobody wanted to wake up early. The first two nights that we were there, everybody was like, "No, good night." Oh, we put on briefly in my cabin. They had like a box of DVDs and we were like, oh, let's see what they got. And we were like, well, we obviously out of all of these have to watch Prince of Persia with Jake Gyllenhaal because it's a video game movie and it is. So bad.
Yeah.
But we only watched it for like 30 minutes and all of us were like, we're so tired. Get out of here. I'm going to bed. So everybody was pretty self-sufficient and independent. But on the last night, everybody's like, this is when we're hanging out. And everybody saw, at least I saw the stack of board games that people brought. And I was like, I hope we dig into these. So that's great.
Did you play anything other than Wavelength or was that the only one that?
No, we played Monikers as well.
Monikers.
Which I didn't know was like a game you could buy because I've always called it Boulette. I've heard people call it Fishbowl.
And I've Celebrity? We call it – go ahead. Describe it maybe.
Okay. There's three rounds and you're using the same cards, quote unquote cards, for every round. The thing about Boulette is basically everybody who's playing gets to write like three or five cards, which are pieces of paper. And then you put them in a bowl. But in Boulette, you crunch them in the tiniest little ball that you can. So when people have to try and read them, they have to first unfurl them. And it's the first round is like catchphrase, where you can say anything but the words on the card to get people to guess it. Second round is charades. And the third round is you get one word to get people to guess what you're doing. But it's
funny.
Easier over time.
We play this in a different order.
I think we go any word, one word, pantomime.
Monikers does that too, but we always did it backwards because we always, I don't know, charades always seem, or one word always seemed like the hardest one. You want to be the most familiar.
I feel like I've always felt that pantomime, because now you have no words and you've established what happens is you kind of establish a pattern because everybody remembers the way you got the person to say it with the words.
So they're a wet blanket, and then they say the name, and the next round you just go, blanket, and everybody's like.
And now you have to figure out how to convey blanket, because we all have now associated blanket with this word. So, but we always called it celebrities, or actually we called it Boutros, but that's a whole long story. We called it Boutros because the first time my friend played it, somebody put in Boutros Ghali as the name, and he had never heard of Boutros Ghali, who was the head of the UN for a long time. Maybe it was UN or NATO, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Boutros Ghali, famous person, but he never heard of it. So we called it Boutros from then on because it was hilarious because he was like, Boutros Ghali, what is this nonsense phrase? And everybody else was like, it's a person, you moron. So
we call it Boutros, but a lot of people call that celebrity. Jerk.
What?
Whoever wrote that is a jerk, though.
Well, everybody else had heard of Boutros Ghali. And the whole point is to come up with names that are going to create ridiculous interactions, right? It's the whole point is like,
Oh, so did you play with only celebrity names? We played with like, people would write long phrases.
Oh, really?
And it was like so challenging. And so, and people write so many. So we'd have so many boulettes in the bowl. And there's one year, it's very contentious with my family at Christmas, because my brother Jared, we were like, no made up words. It's got to at least be words or very popular names. That's it.
Yeah.
My brother wrote the phrase, that's a dill don't. And let me tell you, nobody could get that one guessed, period. And it was like a big, quote unquote, fight, a big friendly debate with the family about whether or not that was a valid boulette clue.
We would do – that's funny. I would think that would be so much harder to do a phrase like
it
that
is.
Because no one says that's a dill don't, right?
Yeah.
But now I will forever.
I certainly dill don't ever say that. Yeah.
Yeah. But we, so we would – our rule was the celebrities, it had to be someone that everybody basically understood. It could be a fictional character. It could be Homer Simpson. It could be – you know, or it could be Boutros-Ghali. But it had to be someone that – it couldn't be – you know, there's always the one sports person who puts in like the third baseman from the 1967 Padres, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like nobody knows. You have to have some kind of
Hank
confidence
Skelter,
that
by the way.
Other people are going to know this person. It could be obscure, but it has to be like, I've literally never heard of that person.
We do person or thing that at least one other person in the group has heard of, that you know, yeah. You think at least one other person in the group has heard of. And then when we play with our kids, it's fun because I mean, there's total group mind where like every kid that's playing will put in the same thing. You know, like if we're playing at Christmas, it'll be like every kid will put in Frosty. And then as you pull it out, you like just do one, and then you're like, the thing I just did. It's like, oh, Frosty.
I was just going to mention that same exact thing, that I don't think that's unique to kids. I find it so bizarre every time I play celebrity or Boutros. Invariably three people put in the same weird person that nobody had mentioned earlier, you know, like three people put in Michael Jordan or something. It's like no one was talking about basketball in any sense, and yet everybody weirdly went to the same place. It's
we had one time when three different people wrote crazy ass goose.
Is that because
that phrase
You'd seen one of those walking
there's
through
like
your
a,
living room?
There's like an old YouTube video of a goose that's like keeps trying to attack this dude's dog, and he just grabs it by the neck and keeps throwing it in the water. Doesn't hurt it. He keeps coming back to like attack his dog, and he just goes, crazy ass goose.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Buckle in, because we're about to go on a tangent.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
There is no such thing as a not crazy ass goose. Every goose is crazy ass. And you're going to say to
me,
you're going to
say to me, ones that die upon ejecting from an airplane?
Yeah, that was the craziest one of all. You never close your eyes anymore.
All right, let's hear this. There's never.
Do you want to know how I know?
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Because my grandfather. My grandparents on my mom's side
are geese.
Long line of geese. In fact, they walk in a long line. They had a pet goose.
Oh, sick.
They had, and not because they decided they wanted to have a pet goose, it decided it was their pet. It showed up on their property one day and it decided it was going to stay. No matter what they did. And you know what? As like a six-year-old who would go over to grandma and grandpa's house, that goose friggin' hated me. It
thought you
hated
were trying
me.
To pull a goose. It was like, look at this kid trying to pull a goose, trying
He's
to move
like,
on in.
This is my house, kid. Get out of here.
Was it like a Canada goose or like one of those big geese with like the big bills?
Big geese. Well, I don't know if you mean a big bill.
Like it has a big... Like there's like a
no,
Canada
no,
goose.
It had like a duck bill
face.
Almost, like a long protruding bill.
Yeah.
But it would come up and it would bring its feathers out and it would go and chase me like that. Stick its tongue out of its mouth because newsflash, geese have tongues. The six-year-old me learned very, very fast.
When you went in for a kiss and you were like, come here, goosey.
6-year-old, I'm not doing Frenchies. Come on. I don't know what you teach your children.
hey, but, practice makes perfect. I'm like, go get a goose. Go get this done.
Golden goose. No, it would stick its tongue straight out, put its wings, extend its wings from its side, make itself really big, hiss at me, and chase me. Chase me around the yard out of anger.
What would your grandparents do? Be like, oh, Susan, stay away from the geek. A day.
Goose. No. You know what the goose's name was?
What?
Goose. Its name was Goose, Christian.
This is my favorite part of the story. Is it started with every goose is a crazy-ass goose based upon – I mean, I agree.
There's no such thing as a not – this is not a typical goose behavior.
But it boils down into your story with one goose.
But this is what I learned in experiencing this very personal goose story of my life, is that this is goose behavior. This is how geese –
oh, I love that so much.
Can I tell you,
and then be like,
come on, geese.
That's not real. That's not real. They would be cussing and biting.
No, yeah. No, no. There's been a whitewashing of geese.
to follow, I mean, it's on the same tangent, but I will tell you, every Amanda is a wonderful, loving human being. Let me tell you how I know
listen
this.
To this. You don't have to. You don't have
no. Every single Amanda is, and here's how I can tell you I know this.
Up to it.
The one I'm married to is. So ipso facto, they all are. That's how I know it. Let me tell you,
Amanda
every child.
Hug and kiss?
Wonderful.
I'm looking for Amanda hug and kiss.
Wonderful. I'm sure they're wonderful if you find them. Every single.
It's a Simpsons reference.
Let me tell you how I know.
No.
You're
mocking me, and yet you don't have firsthand goose knowledge like I do.
Let me tell you, I agree that geese are crazy. When I was a kid, we used to go to this park in Calgary. I don't remember the name of the park.
Goose Park,
Prince's Island Park. It had a ton of geese, and you'd go like feed them whatever. But
I'm sorry. I know I've been interrupting you a lot today, and I feel very bad about that. But I can't let that one go. My favorite thing is I can't remember the name of the park. It's Princess Island Park. Anyway.
Yeah, I forgot it, and then I immediately remembered it.
It was amazing. That was amazing. And it wasn't like a normal name of a thing. You're like, there's no way I'm ever going to come up with a Princess Island Park. Sorry. I totally derailed you, but go.
They had a bunch of geese there. We used to go like feed them as kids, but there's ones that we went – I feel like – it was a big park playing frisbee with the family, whatever. And I had like a ham sandwich and I threw it and I was like, oh no, there's like a bit of ham in that one. And after it ate it, that's when it started like doing the thing and hissing and chasing. And I was like, it has a taste for meat. And I thought that I poisoned that goose's brain like a zombie and that it was like, now I can only eat.
It has the taste. It has the taste.
It was like the same height as me. It really freaked me out when I was a kid.
Goose is like bread, grains, delicious. Wait, what? What is this? What is this incredible thing? Oh, it's all around me. They're made of meat. I can have them. Well, I want you to know, Lana, however many years later, you can feel good that you are not responsible, because that's just how geese are. They're a-holes.
I don't know. I think so. My wife did have her booty chomped by a goose when she was a little kid. I've heard that story from her parents.
Well. The evidence is piling up, isn't it?
But Jeff, may I ask this question? Your grandparents kept this goose.
They had no choice.
Maybe the a-hole was you. You know, like if one of the things is the problem. And it's clearly not the one that your grandparents keep as a pet.
What?
Maybe you're the problem.
I mean, I will admit that I am a problem most of the time. However, we have now all reluctantly revealed a-hole geese stories.
Let me tell you.
No one has a great story of a goose doing something awesome. No one is like, oh, you know, that does remind me of the time that a goose returned my sandwich. Wallet. Better, way better.
I'm Googling. Way better. I'm Googling Goose Does Good Deed.
There's no such thing.
I agreed with you. It was just so funny. I was ready for you to be like, I read an article about how geese are like
mentally
disposed to be aggressive. I was like ready for that. Like, it wasn't that I disagreed with your point. It's that it was like, here's a tangent. All geese are like this. Here's my one experience with a
geese. Wait, wait, wait. Type in, go to Google right now on Chrome. Go to your browser and type in geese are.
Okay.
And what comes up? What are the top? What are the top? We're landing left.
I got never swans is the first one.
Yeah.
Are evil.
Yep.
Are mean.
Yep.
Are scary.
Yep. Thank
are
you.
Are birds. Those are the ones.
That's what people, geese are evil. Geese are mean. Geese are scary. That's what Google tells you because it's true. I'm so sick of people having a good opinion of geese.
Does anybody really have? They made like a whole game about a goose being a jerk because it's such a resonant experience.
Well, yes, but you two have been trying to tell me that I have this weird outlier experience that isn't consistent with goose behavior.
Wait, hold on. It's page 3, but I just found a story about humankind saved by kind goose. It took place in 1827, and I'm just joking. That'd be great, though, wouldn't it? Like, the fall of humanity was the only thing that stopped Chernobyl from being an even bigger disaster is when a goose named Plucky sacrificed itself and flew in straight to the reactor core and pooped everywhere. No, they are angry birds, Jeff. But
yeah,
how did your parents?
They're not in Angry Birds.
There is one that's kind of goose-like.
All right, I don't know. I didn't really play that game.
Didn't they just call animal control and be like, "Get this duck goose, this goose out of here"?
If a goose was randomly decided, was the goose nice to them? Could they like pet it and stuff, or was it just around?
It wasn't a pet. It was a housemate. It was just like, "What's up, losers?"
It was playing PlayStation constantly in the living room.
Rent! I'll show you, Rent.
Who drank all my LaCroix? I had an entire 6-packs of a LaCroix in here. And you just look in the living room and there's...
just the geese surrounded by cans. Of
LaCroix around the goose. He's like...
Because, like, if a goose showed up and was randomly nice to me and it was, like, my buddy and would, like, sit with me and, like, hiss at everybody else, I'd be like, yeah, that's mine.
He's got my back. Yeah.
But if it was just, like, hissing at everybody and they just couldn't get it to leave, I'd be like, Gary, such a jerk.
Yeah. Unfortunately, both my grandparents have passed away, so I can't ask them directly about that. I mean, maybe I could ask my mom. Maybe she would know. Because as a kid, you don't question it. It's just like the goose arrived at their house and they let it. My understanding was they wanted the goose to leave, what with how it treated their grandkids, but it would not leave. And so they leaned into it and were just like, this is our goose. We're going to name it Goose.
I love the idea that, like, all right, Jeffrey, we're going to grandma and grandpa's. Oh no! You'll be fine, Jeff. Yeah. I packed you 4 slices of Wonder Bread. Just keep the no. goose happy, Jeff.
Just put it in your pocket.
Mom, I can't.
No, he knows it's in there. He knows.
Just don't look directly at the goose. I have to look at the goose. I can't look away from the goose.
Why did you put all my toys right near where the goose hangs out?
Well, Jeff, that's no longer your room. That's Goose's room. It wasn't a decision that we made lightly. It's
why it 2 in the morning and the goose like was hissing G.I. at us. Joe so much.
The goose had a knife.
The goose may have had a knife.
I mean, I would love someone now that has a better programmer than I. I really do want 6-year-old Jeff hacked into the PC version of
Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never played that game, and now I'm starting to realize maybe I had some post-traumatic stress about it. You know?
Yeah.
I never really you know, analyzed why I didn't play that game because everybody was talking about it at the time, and I was like, I don't feel like that game's for me. But now I'm kind of putting two and two together right now, like in real time, guys, making some discoveries about myself. Re that goose game.
Therapy on Wednesday mornings, you know? That's what we're here for.
So, Jeff, tell us about the goat. What happened to you and the goat?
Michael Jordan is a very good player. I've used his name in Boutros many times.
Man. That's so funny. Have you ever had, like, wildlife attacks or encounters, Lana? Was it more common?
You're Canadian. Don't you get attacked by moose, meeses all the time?
I've never seen a moose in real life. That's a fact.
Oh, I have.
I've seen so many meese.
They're big,
scary, man. They're scary. They will charge you.
I can't believe
like a lot, like $1,000. Like, you want a picture? That's $1,000, bro. Autograph, 500 more.
I saw this moose standing in front of the man's Chinese theater, and he charged me so much.
I saw you look. I saw you take a picture. That's a tip. That's a tip.
I really can't believe you. I was just thinking about this, and I was thinking I should definitely not tell this story.
Oh, that's the best kind of story to tell.
I get made fun of for telling the story all the time, but it's real. It really happened to me. I'm not messing around. And it was so crazy at the time. And I'll make it shorter because it's long. But when I lived in Irvine, I didn't drive. I didn't have a driver's license. It was terrible.
Irvine is known as a really walking-friendly city.
I lived there for 6 years. I didn't get a car until I got my job at Riot. I had a bicycle.
What was year three like? You were like, I'm already 3 years in. What are we going
to
do now?
So I learned how to drive in Canada. And then I moved to San Francisco and lived there for 6 years, but I only had a learner's permit because I moved when I was like 18. I didn't drive when I was 16. And so I was like, it expired eventually. And I was like, oh, well, now I have to use my passport to get into a bar. And that's annoying, but whatever. Didn't think anything of it until I moved to Irvine. And I was like, this is really awful. But I didn't like know anybody.
Were you
busing?
Enough. Using
buses? No, I used Uber. And every year, me and my roommate would do like our taxes, and we calculate all the money we spent in like car costs and gas and maintenance. And I would tally up all of the Uber that I took to do everything in my life, and mine was thousands of dollars cheaper.
Really? Wow.
And so I was like,
I did not think that. Honestly.
I know. And so that was like the main reason that I didn't. I was like, it's still, I mean, Blizzard notoriously underpaid, so I was super broke. And so I was like, I'm still just gonna Uber because I don't have the money to do anything else. Wow. And so I did that, but it's, you know, you can't also do anything. That's why I don't like never been to LA until I like started at Riot, basically, even though I lived right next to it. Like there's a lot of things that made my life very annoying. I was in great shape though, because I walked to work every day. And after a while I was like, oh, walking takes so long. It took me like 40 minutes to walk to work. And I was like, I'm going to start jogging to work just because it'll get me there faster. but I would leave really early. I used to get to my desk. I used to get to work at 6:45 in the morning. So
oh my
I'd
gosh.
Get up super early. Nobody's out and nobody is walking because it's Irvine.
Right.
And it's through the San Diego Creek Trail, which is like this drainage ditch that is like a nasty little drainage ditch, and it goes under these overpasses, and it's a barren gross trail thing. And it was the summer that there was a drought, like a very intense drought, and so all the coyotes were coming down from the hills.
So basically every summer
it was summer. Yeah, it was summer.
Yes. But I remember this summer it was like a particularly bad one because they kept being like, packs of coyotes are attacking people. And I was like, I'll be fine. Anyway, I did start seeing this like one coyote.
One goose was like, hey, she's got meat.
Exactly. Word gets around.
Oh my
Word
gosh.
Gets around.
It's headed out for me. It's had a vendetta.
So you had a coyote stalker?
I had a coyote stalker, but I'd always be like, hey, Wiley, you stay over there, my dude. And then there's one morning that I was walking away, and there's like a lizard on the path, like sunbathing. And I'm like, oh, what a beautiful lizard. And I like stopped to take a picture of it. And then I looked up and that coyote was like right there, like feet, I'm going to say 7 feet away from me. And like just staring me.
Wow.
And I was like, I could punch a coyote. I could do it. I could kick this coyote if I have to. And I was like, I know, like, it's a predator. I just have to, like, look it in the eye. And I was like, get out of here. I was like yelling. I had this water bottle. I was like crunching it and like yelling at it. And I was like slowly backing up. But like, there's this trail, it goes under these overpasses. There's not like, oh, I can just cut up the hill and there's just like people. It's like, no, there's roads everywhere.
There's more coyotes up the hill. And
it's so far back.
You're saying it would have taken a long time to find your body is what you're saying.
Exactly. And there's like nobody else around. I'm like, this is insane. I'm like, I'm going to get bit by a coyote and I was something scratched. I was preparing myself to literally fight this animal. And then like, as I got maybe like 30 feet away, just backing up and it was slowly coming at me. But when it got to the lizard, the lizard was like a coyote and like jumped and like flailed. And then it got distracted by the lizard and grabbed it and ran into there's sort of like a V in the path and it ran right into the middle of these bushes. And I was like, oh my God, that lizard like distracted the coyote, but it's right there.
That lizard sacrificed itself for you?
I know it did. This is why I get made fun of for saying this story. But then somebody else came down like this path that like it split and there's like a maintenance path for like the ditch clearly. And then the actual path. And I know the maintenance path ends in like a steep wall and a dude and his puppy come walking down that path. I could see him. And I was like, that coyote is going to kill that puppy. And I was like, Hey, guy over there. Hey, like yelling at him. And he clearly thinks I'm like a crazy person. And he's like, not looking at me.
Squinching your water bottle.
He finally gets close enough. And I'm like, hey man, there's like a coyote right here. Like, I'm not like for real, your dog. I would just pick it up and I would get out of here. And he was like, okay. And it was like, rustle, rustle, rustle. And the coyote like popped out of the bushes right beside us again. He goes, oh my God. And grabs his dog and sprints back down the path. And I was like, you can't just run. We got to pack it. And I was like, oh my God, this guy's bending me. And I'm like jogging backwards. And this coyote's like jogging at us.
Wow.
And eventually I was like,
has sustenance from that lizard. Like the coyote.
It has the energy. You know, exactly. Yeah. And I was like,
Gatorade for a coyote.
That lizard is the first time it's ever tasted meat. Now it wants more.
And I was like, this is crazy. So I'm like jogging backwards down this path. And eventually I'm like, I got to get out of here. And I like turn and book it. And I get to like the steep wall part and like just clamber up. It's got like some texture. I made it up the wall. I turn around. The coyote's just at the bottom, just staring and jogged away. And I was like, nobody's ever going to believe this just happened to me. It's crazy. It was crazy.
Were the handhelds painted in yellow so you could climb the steep wall? Like, how did you know?
No, I'm more of like a Breath of the Wild climber. Like anything, oh, yeah. I'm like just pro, unless it's like
as long as you had stamina, you didn't have to get halfway up and go.
Yeah.
And it's like a scene from The Last of Us. Man, that was great. That's crazy. Yeah. What an amazing thing. So the next day you had to make that walk again, right?
I'm so glad that you asked me because I started what am I going to do?
Lana got a car.
I did not.
That was the day she bought a car.
I wish it was the day I bought a car. The
and
next
drove
day,
it down that path.
That would have hit me a coyote.
The next day, I put like a big wrench in my bag from my toolbox, and I was like, "I'm gonna wrench this coyote. That's all I had. If I have to, and I'm gonna eat.
That's amazing.
I'm gonna eat an apple or something on the way to work. I'm gonna eat food. So if it comes at me, I'll just throw the food because it like the lizard. I'll be like, get that food. And sure enough, I'm walking down the same path and then there's sort of like this fence and it like is on the other side of the fence. I'm not lying. I get made fun of for this story because it sounds so outrageous. And it like looks at me on the other side of the fence and then looks where the gap in the fence is and it starts jogging towards it. And I'm like, not today, coyote. And I start like running and they get across like this bridge and over to like where society is and the coyote's like right there. And I was like, yeah, get out of here, man. You can't. But then this jogger walks by in the other direction like, jogging, completely ignores the coyote. A coyote looks at me, looks at the jogger, goes at the jogger. And I was like, hey, and threw the apple at it. And it looked at the apple, looked at the jogger, grabbed the apple and walked away. I saved that guy's life. I paid it forward, baby.
Paid it forward. Amazing.
And then the coyotes were gone. So I think people had reported that there was
coyotes amazing.
Attacking people. It was very intense.
I love the idea that you woke up the next day and you're like, I'm going to have to do this again. I'm going to have to do this again. Yeah. Like, there's no part of you that's like, no, I'm not doing that.
I was ready to fight with a wrench.
I picture like the Evil Dead 2 or Army of Darkness, like go into the work shed, find your tools, and you're like, wrench.
Yeah.
Apple.
Wrapping it in barbed wire. I was hoping this story was going to end with you and the coyote becoming friends, and it was like a meet cute, you know? It was just like a... That's my pet coyote, Maxwell. You know,
I thought about it. I was on day three. I was genuinely like, should I bring like, I mean, I'm broke. I'm like, should I bring like some deli meat to throw in it and be like, look, I'll feed you.
It's eating better than you.
Yeah.
No, what you got to do is you got to stop by the pet store and see if they have any lizards for sale.
Oh, God.
Three quick small stories that are related. Two are about dogs, coyotes, and one unrelated, but about an animal, wild animal, and maybe dying. So the first one is a friend who's a comedian who was very high one day. This is in San Diego. And we see them the next day, several days later, whenever it was, the next time we saw them, with like gouge marks on their arm and like hospital bandaging. We're like, what happened? He goes, I was at my friend's house, really high, and we walked into the backyard, and I thought I saw a doggy. It wasn't.
Wow.
And this coyote or some other animal attacked him. Very funny. That makes me
hilarious.
He's fine.
I thought I saw a doggy.
I saw a doggy.
Second. Hey, doggy. I can't imagine being the friend. Yeah, at that part. Like, where's Devin? Oh, my God. Then I had a friend in college.
That's what happened to me. It was a goose. Go ahead.
I had a friend in college who was clearly afraid of dogs, but for whatever reason didn't want to just say, I'm afraid of dogs. Like, hey, I don't want to go to your apartment. You have a dog. I'm afraid. I don't like dogs. I'm afraid of dogs. And then someone finally called him out on it, and they're like, dude, you're afraid of dogs. And he stands up, puffs up, and he goes, why'd I ever be afraid of a dog? If it jumps at me, grab its legs, cross them, boom, crushed its chest, killed it.
What?
And we're like, and it was almost like the Princess Lacey Park or whatever. Like it flew off the tip of his tongue so fast and so pronounced that we were just like.
He's thought about that before.
That's rehearsed. Like, yeah.
That's the plan that he's had in place for a while.
He's looked up most effective way to kill a dog, and that was it.
Pick up his legs, cross them, boom, caved in its chest. Dead. I win. Last little quickie. We were in Wyoming last summer, maybe 2 summers ago. Maybe I said this on the show after it happened. We were out hiking, and we hear people down, like there's like a river, and like we're up in the mountain hill area, and we hear people down in the river, like the lake area in their kayak yelling what we thought is Claire, which is my youngest daughter's name. And we're like, huh. Must be someone we know. Oh, we look. Oh, we don't. Claire. Huh, look at that. Oh, cool. We don't know. Oh, bear. Oh, crap. And then we turn and there's, you know, mama bear and two baby bear, like, you know, maybe 10 yards away from us. And Claire is like panicking and freaking out. And I pick her up and we're doing all the things you're supposed to do when you see a bear or whatever. And I remember Claire just leans into me and whispers and she goes, now that you're holding me, just know if I die, it's your fault.
Your daughter said that to you? Wow.
I was like, duly noted.
Was she dead serious?
Yes. Oh, yes. Like scared, petrified. And like, if I die, it's your fault, Dada. And I was like, uh-huh. I got it. Thanks for that. Yeah.
Not wrong.
Not wrong. But
I mean, generally, that's the case, though. It doesn't even have to be a bear attack. It's like just... As a parent, if your six-year-old dies, you know, generally speaking, your fault.
Or the gooses, you know, it's like one of the two. It's gonna be.
Oh, man. So funny.
Man, that coyote, what is that coyote up to now? Is it at Riot or did it go to still a blizzard?
Where's it working? I think it's surfing in San Diego. He like got tired of just being, well, no. It could have met a foul end. Because one time when it was raining a lot in Irvine, I was like on my lunch run down the San Diego Creek Trail, which again is like an empty, disgusting ditch. And I was like, this is the picture of Irvine, baby. This is it. SoCal living. One side, glass balcony, vines, beautiful manicured house. On the right, empty, disgusting ditch, dead coyote, four vultures. I was like, that's it. That's the picture of Irvine. Yeah. So maybe that was him.
That was him.
Dang.
He finally, yeah. finally got his comeuppance. Messed with the wrong lizard, Coyote.
Ate that poison apple that Lana brought with her.
Snow White style. I just want to just real quickly flash back to, I don't know, 20 minutes ago when I said, buckle up, we're about to go on a tangent. And there was a tiny part of each of you that was doubting it, right? There was a little part of you. I was like, really, I need to buckle up. And here we are, right? Glad we buckled up.
Shouldn't we just say that at the beginning of every Wednesday show?
It's probably not a bad idea.
That's what we do. I will say I don't remember at all what we were talking about previously.
No, neither do I. It could not have been anywhere near as interesting as this.
I think we were about to solve world hunger. I think we were like right. It was the tip of our tongues. We were right there. And then geese came in.
Yeah.
Then geese it. Total change of subject. Did you both get like a million emails yesterday and today? I feel like for me, whatever New Year holiday was on is over. And it's like, oh, it's February. Here's, and I feel like even in video game news, there's been so much news. I've been so many emails. Like there was like, remember my New Year's resolution was inbox zero. Yesterday was the day that tested that resolve. It was like,
up?
Oh, really?
Giving up?
I didn't. I stuck through it, but.
Gotta give up. You gotta give
man,
up.
Man, it was a lot.
There's no and point.
I was wondering, so many emails.
The good news is, Christian, if you don't care, you don't even notice when there's a heavy flow day of emails. You know what I'm saying? You don't even notice. I probably should have phrased that differently.
I'm like trying to think of some other way to make that into a more disgusting metaphor. And I'm refusing.
Don't talk to Jeff today. It's a heavy email day for Jeff. He's in a bad mood.
Oh, I'm going to start just saying that at work. Oh, it's a heavy flow day. Lots of emails.
What did you think I meant?
Trevor, I thought we fired you after the ski trip. What are you still doing here? For cause. I think we were talking about board games. I think is what we were talking about.
We were.
And somehow like celebrity and maybe something.
Oh, right. Now I remember that. I remember.
Oh, yeah. You said a con. I got it. I did
it. Who cares, Christian? We moved on.
No, let me have this moment.
We're talking about our periods now. You were both fans of the Diva Cup, I assume.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's my favorite race in Mario Kart.
It's definitely 200cc, if you know what I'm talking about. And sometimes, have you ever tried to play it backwards, Lana? That is difficult. The mirror mode is hard. Venturing out and maybe more inappropriate, and I could ask my wife, are Diva Cups new or just, I mean, like 10 years, I feel like. I was like unaware. I've been married for a very long time. I feel like I was unaware of them. And then maybe it's been 10 years. And I was like, yeah, why didn't we all know about, like they're in TV shows. It was just not talked about. I don't know.
I think anyway. They're new. I hadn't heard about them. And then it was like that moment where I'm like, all my friends like, are you telling me you've never heard of one? Are you an idiot? And I'm like, I guess so. Like, what is it?
It's the first time I've heard of it right now. So we don't need to go into it, but
it's a reusable silicone often made cup that you use when you're menstruating. So you're not just using disposable things.
It's better for the environment.
And you have less chance of getting toxic shock because the ways that they make feminine products, they'll be like, it's cotton, supposedly, maybe.
Right.
Just put it up there and
just
find
shove
out.
It in there and leave it in there all day. Yeah. Good luck. Oh,
well, I'll tell you what it makes me think
coyotes.
Of.
Coyotes.
We made it 45 minutes before we lost the entire audience, but that's okay.
You're telling me this show isn't excited to talk about popular menstrual products? I thought that's why you brought me on.
Give us money to hear us talk about this. This is what they pay for.
We sold bras for years. Jeff and
I bought bras from you. I'm wearing one right now.
Well, that's just because I sell them secondhand out of my trunk of my car. You'll never believe where I got these.
Hey, you look scared, like you're running from a coyote. You need full support.
No slip straps. No slip straps.
I will tell you what
cup sizes for those coyote morning.
Coyote morning. The coyote morning. It makes me think of something that I've often mused on as I've gotten older. This Diva Cup thing. Oh. Is there isn't anything, any mundane thing, I mean, not that that's mundane, but there isn't any facet of life that over the course of the decades I've been on this planet is not iterated upon and improved, right? Like somebody is always thinking of a new way to do something. Like, mm-hmm. have you gone to the store and bought a stapler lately? Like, they don't look anything like the staplers that I had when I was a kid. Like, somebody figured out a better way to make a stapler or scissors, or it doesn't matter what the stupid thing is. They get better over time. Like, somebody is improving upon even the stuff that it feels like we figured it out. You know, we figured it out. There's no need to make a better version of a scissors, and that you can go to the store and buy, like, high-tech awesome scissors that somebody figured out a better way to make, you know? And I'm just mystified by that fact that there is something that there is this like a Moore's law? Is there going to be an upper end to the innovation of certain things? It just feels crazy to me that you can continue improving upon things, everything.
All right, that was
a dead end topic.
No. I was thinking because there was something that I was talking about with a friend that we both had this moment of like, yeah, there's still no better way to do that. And I'm trying to remember. I can't pull it like I can the name of a park I went to when I was 10. I apologize. I'm trying to think of what it was, and I can't find it. But it was this thing of like, yeah, we truly have not. Iterated on that at all. All I can think about right now is crayons. And I know they make other crayons, but they're not as good as just like crayons. But that's not the thing that my friend and I were talking about. I have friends. They live in Canada. You don't know them. We talk about things. It's no big deal.
Wait, how do you say that word? The thing you use to make colors on little kids
drawing? Crayons?
A what?
Crayon?
It's almost like one syllable when you say it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're saying crayon, like crayons. A crayon apple.
Ah, crayons.
Yeah, crayon.
It's How a crayon. It? Isn't it a crayon?
Is there a word that you always get called out for saying weird? I have one.
Apparently crayon.
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 Crayon. Oh, it's my crayons.
What color crayon are you using?
Yeah, crayon.
Yeah, like a berry color.
Yeah,
crayon.
Like a crayon. I want to hear you both say it for me.
I crayon. Color crayons with my gran.
Yeah, say it. Say it, Jeff. Go ahead.
Crayon. It's a crayon.
That's crayon.
That sounds like something from Star Trek.
Oh no, written.
We've encountered the crayons. The crayons are hostile. Set Phasar's to stun with a crayon.
Crayons.
Crayon?
Oh, yeah, you get your crayons, huh?
Yes. Yes, yeah. Squish them together.
How do you spell the company that makes crayons? How do you pronounce the company that makes crayons?
Easy. Crayola. I had to really try on that. Crayola. Crayola. Yeah. It's like payola, but with a cray. It's Crayola. It's
Crayola right. Make so a crayon.
Crayola makes crayons, not crayons.
No, Crayola makes crayons.
Okay. What's your word, Lana, that you made fun of?
How do you say the outfits that you wear in Halloween?
A costume?
Yeah.
Costume.
Costume.
Well, liquid U's, see, Americans have abandoned the liquid U. And this is something that I learned in theater school, paid a lot of money.
Are you about to validate me?
Yeah, no.
I'm making Jeff listen to this episode.
Well, the yeah, please make
he
Jeff
He doesn't listen when he does them. So yeah,
he's a real
right now.
Terrible husband.
How do you say...
you meant this Jeff. He also doesn't listen.
How do you say the first name of the video game character Nukem?
Oh, see, I know how you say it because I hear it when you say it. I say Duke, but you would say Duke.
I would say Duke because the Duke pukes, but the Duke pukes, right?
Yeah.
The Duke pukes. That's not how you say puke. We all say puke. Why don't we say Duke?
You also say tune in.
I said I use liquid use because I was trained to do that in theater school. Because you say,
but I don't say costume.
I say costume.
Costume.
Oh, with a ch sound?
Yes, costume.
It's costume.
Costume.
Oh, that's wrong.
I was like, yes, there's like a reason no I longer, do this.
No, babe, there was no paid DLC this week. You don't need to listen to this just one snippet.
The part where it sounds like I'm really going to get set up.
So on Crayola.
Crayola's stuck on crayons.
Crayola. On Crayola's website, it says, what's the correct way to pronounce crayon?
Really? It says that on their website?
Webster's Dictionary states the proper way to pronounce crayon is two syllables, crayon. However, individual and regional dialects have slightly different pronunciations. Please note that crayon is a generic term. Crayola is our company name and is a registered trademark. That's all they really care about. But I wonder if it is like a regional, maybe that is the one, like when I moved to the Bay Area in fifth grade, before that I said y'all all the time. And I don't have a problem with y'all. I think it's a nice contraction and useful in everyday
It's actually pretty
language.
Useful because it's gender neutral, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. But instead of you guys, which is, you know.
Or you
not.
All or.
Well, y'all is you all, right?
Right. But saying it, right, as a contraction. Yeah, yeah. I got mocked for it. That was my word apparently then. So I dropped it and I never went back to picking it up as like part of my daily speech. And people later as a group were like, oh, you're from Houston? I can't hear it. Like I have apparently not what they would expect to be a big city Southern dialect or accent. But maybe crayon is my Southern slang. I'm curious if our listeners... Pronounce crayon.
I was going to say, I've never heard you, like, in my brain, I'm always like, oh, yeah, Pasadena. But, right. Like, the fact that you're from Texas, you don't have anything that I associate with, like, hey, y'all. Have you ever twanged? Were you ever a twangy guy?
Yeah, I mean, the only twang I have is the nasal punk rock, pop punk nasal twang of, like, I'm lonely. I mean, that's lonely.
Do you have a wrong
How
word,
would
Jeff?
You all like to play with crayons with me? My name's Christian Spicer, and I like playing with crayons.
It gets very close
I
to
like
the Spice
my favorite
man.
Colors, blue. I just color blue crayons all day long up in here.
So now, just raise the pitch, Jeff, and you've got the Spice Man voice. You found it. That is it.
I'll enjoy red and yellow. Oh, yellow's a great crayon color.
I'm going to pee my pants.
All right, Lana's got to go. We got to get out of here.
Have you ever seen a cayenne can? They'll give you a cayenne crayon all day long. I can color with cayenne crayons.
What color are you going to color that goose? Let me tell you a story about geese. Get on old grandpa's lap here. Geese are real. Beep. Let me tell you about them. Here's why they stink. Your grandpappy has a pet goose. Didn't want it. Got it. Best part about it, it hates my grandson.
Did you know you can buy an entire can of cayenne cans? Yes, you can. I'll just color with my can of cayenne cans.
Well, some might say, Jeff, that this episode turned coyote ugly at the end.
Anyway, that's our episode about board games.
Jeff got up on the table and...
And that's Running with Scissors.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting this nonsense. We appreciate it. I am grateful. Hey, listen, I got to go back and take care of my kids all day long. So this is probably the last time I'll laugh all day. I'm so happy.
I'll send you voice memos of me just saying crayon so you can just hear it and laugh at me periodically.
So good. All right. Thank you for supporting the show, ladies and gentlemen. Please pass the word along so more people can be subjected to this. We'll see you next week. Have a good afternoon.